It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Rachel Osier-Lindley. The Texas Constitution requires state lawmakers to pass a balanced budget, but the House and Senate aren't on the same page, at least for now. Ben Philpott with KUT in Austin explores some of the differences.
The House's budget proposal spends about $5 billion more in state funds than the Senate does. What makes the Senate's budget smaller? Eva De Luna Castro follows the budget for the left-leaning state policy think tank, the Center for Public Policy Priorities. She says the Senate spends much less than the House in two places, higher education and Medicaid.
The Senate also doesn't deal with caseload growth for Medicaid, mostly children in families poor enough to qualify for health care through Medicaid.
The House budget calls for more spending in both of those areas and sets aside an additional $1.5 billion for public education. But the House budget ends up spending more money than the comptroller says they'll have. Now, at the moment, the House budget doesn't explain how it gets that extra money, but Castro suspects it will come from the almost $12 billion the state has stashed away in its rainy day fund. Even with budget cuts for specific state agencies expected, some lawmakers are pushing for cuts to or even the elimination of the state's business franchise tax. That would cut how much money lawmakers have to spend on public education in 2019. And groups like the Conservative Texas Public Policy Foundation are pushing to change how much the state budget can grow in the future. Talmadge Heflin is a former House budget writer and the foundation's budget expert.
You can see we have an aggressive agenda to protect the taxpayers' dollars. And it starts with adopting a budget that doesn't grow beyond population inflation, the taxpayers' ability to pay.
Both houses of the legislature have to come up with an agreement on the budget by the end of the session on May 29th. In Austin, I'm Ben Philpott.
KERA wants to know what you want to know about the Texas legislature. It's a project we're calling Texas Decides. Send in your questions about the legislature at keranews.org. We'll be answering them throughout the legislative session. In Austin, as state lawmakers hammer out the budget, battle lines in the Texas Capitol are sharpening around one of this year's biggest fights over social issues. It's the battle over bathrooms, specifically which bathrooms transgender people should be allowed to use. Supporters and opponents are already lobbing attacks, and KERA's Eric Austin sat down with reporter Christopher Connolly to talk through the latest.
So let's start out with some basic terms here. What are we talking about when we talk about these so-called bathroom bills?
Yeah, this can be confusing for people. We're talking about bills that in one way or another limit or prohibit transgender people from using bathrooms that match their gender at birth. It can take various different forms. In North Carolina, for example, it's illegal to use the bathroom that doesn't match the sex that's marked on your birth certificate. In Texas, the proposed legislation is a bit more limited than that.
Limited in what way?
So it's limited to government buildings, public schools, and public universities. Basically, it says transgender people can't use bathrooms that don't match their, quote, biological sex in government buildings. It leaves private businesses, private, you know, entities up to their choice, whether or not they let transgender people use the bathroom they're most comfortable with. The bill also would block local non-discrimination ordinances that guarantee transgender people the right to use the bathroom they're comfortable using.
Now, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is pushing this bill in the state Senate. Why does he say this legislation is needed?
Well, he says it's a privacy issue, for one, and a safety issue. He's afraid that transgender protections might entice sexual predators to pretend to be transgender in order to prey on women and girls in bathrooms. He frames it also as a fight against liberals. Here's what he said at a press conference announcing the legislation.
You can mark today as the day that Texas is drawing a line in the sand and saying no. The privacy and safety of Texans is our first priority, not political correctness.
Transgender advocates are really bothered by this safety claim. They say transgender people aren't predators, that there isn't any evidence that more crimes occur when transgender people are allowed to use the bathroom they're most comfortable with. And also, they point out sexual assault is still a crime.
But it's not just the LGBT community pushing back on this bill. Business has also come out against it. Why?
Well, a lot of business leaders say that anti-LGBT legislation makes Texas look bad. The Texas Association of Business and visitors bureaus across the state say it'll hurt tourism because people could think that this is a state that discriminates against LGBT people. And it'll make it harder to attract high-profile sports events or big conventions if organizations aren't sure their fans or attendees will feel welcome. They also say it'll make it harder to attract top talent to the state, and many businesses will look elsewhere when they plan to relocate or expand. House Speaker Joe Strauss says that's exactly his concern.
So I think we should be very careful about doing something that could make Texas less competitive for investments, jobs, and the highly skilled workforce needed to compete. That's my personal view on this, and it's the sentiment back home.
All of this sort of cues up a potential fight between the House and the Senate on this issue. Dan Patrick, who leads the state Senate, has said he thinks his chamber will pass the bill, but it's an open question if it'll come up for a vote in the House. And it's worth noting here, Governor Greg Abbott has been pretty silent on the issue.
Now, in terms of businesses being against the legislation, we've reported on a study that the Texas Association of Business put out, and that tallied the potential costs of anti-LGBT legislation. And the costs ranged widely.
Right. They said it could cost Texas anywhere from less than $1 billion to $8.5 billion and almost 150,000 jobs.
So do those numbers add up?
Well, no, but kind of. PolitiFact Texas took a look at the numbers, and they said the numbers themselves were bad because the data they used was problematic, and they concluded it was, quote, mostly false. At the same time, though, they held up the basic thrust of the argument that the business group was making, that Texas would likely see a detrimental economic impact if it goes forward with anti-LGBT legislation. Of course, Dan Patrick trumpeted that mostly false claim and basically said the whole idea was bunk.
And it doesn't stop there. The NFL has even jumped in on this.
Right. The league put out a statement on Friday that basically said that laws considered discriminatory would be a factor that they take into consideration when they're awarding future Super Bowls. So really, moving forward in Austin, this bathroom legislation is kind of showing the tension between two wings of the Republican Party. That is the wing that's motivated more by social issues and then the more business-focused side of the party.
All right. We'll continue to monitor the legislation at the State House. Chris Connolly, thanks for stopping by.
Happy to do it.
When a person opens fire in a mall, at an office, or in a school, it takes police, on average, about 3 minutes to respond. That's according to Pete Blair, executive director of the Advanced Law Enforcement Response Training Center at Texas State University. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about how to protect yourself until help arrives.
We look at those events to see how they ended, what caused them to end before the police take the scene or on the scene. It's usually that the people at the scene took effective actions to protect themselves. And that's where we developed our avoid, deny, and defend system that we teach, which is to avoid the attacker if you can, if you can't get out of the area because you hear gunfire and you're worried if you were to go out of your office, you might be shot. You deny access to your location, close, lock the doors, barricade it, that sort of thing. And then as a last resort, you defend yourself if you find yourself in close proximity to that person. They're trying to murder you. Don't let them do it. Do your best to protect your life and the lives of others that are around you. And usually when I bring that up, people say, well, this is a person with a gun and you're unarmed. And yes, it is not an ideal situation, but we see that almost 1 out of 5 of these events ends because people on the scene take effective action to protect themselves, usually unarmed, usually by tackling the attacker and stopping them from shooting anybody else.
Pete Blair is a professor of criminology at Texas State. The documentary Tower, about the 1966 mass shooting on the UT Austin campus, airs tomorrow night on PBS stations. Listen to the podcast of today's episode of Think at think.kera.org. Right now it's 64 degrees in Dallas, 65 in Fort Worth, and 61 degrees in Denton. Tonight it's a chance of showers and heavy rain, mostly after midnight, with a low around 49 degrees. And then tomorrow, showers and possibly heavy rain. It'll also be cooler tomorrow, with highs in the low 50s. It's 6:30. I'm Rachel Osier Lindley, and this is KERA News.
The Texas legislature is back, and with hundreds of laws up for debate, it can get pretty complicated. So KERA wants to make the workings of the Texas Capitol a little clearer. We're asking what you want to know about the legislature, how it works, why it works the way it does, and what you want lawmakers to do. It's a project we're calling Texas Decides. We teamed up with public radio stations across the state to collect and answer your questions about the legislature over the next few months. Submit your questions and thoughts at KERANews.org.